Blog Talk Radio.
From the Dona Ana County check-kiting scheme, to the same at the U.S. Fed and broadcasting from a small squat replastered Adobe Shack. Kelly O'Connell. Hey, it's 6:06. It's the 2nd of June, and a huge story is just broken that I was made aware of yesterday by our own Ben Rawson, who had pointed out to me that, and we actually met for lunch to talk about it just a little bit so he could give us a heads up on the for the Rawson Report. Robert R.J. Hernandez is a whistleblower who pointed out, who turned in, who did an investigation into what the Las Cruces Sun News is calling workers accused in tax check scam, that there were a number of tax checks that were fraudulently notarized signature-wise and then cashed, and there's a connection to El Paso, and we're talking hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. That's what I was told. I've got a little bit from KFOX on this. Why don't you check it out? Pretty exciting, huh? So anyway, that's the latest news here. Now, when Ben had told me about it, he told me that there was, and I don't know if this is off the record, but I'm going to just assume that he told me for publication. He said that there is a connection with El Paso, and that this connection was. He told me there were hundreds of thousands of dollars involved. Now, there is here they're mentioning a 12,000, three checks for $12,000. But if you've got 113 counts, then you've got a obviously that's a lot of checks. The Sun News is reporting, or pardon me, KFOX is reporting that Armando Gutierrez Torres was already arrested on Friday, and authorities felt like his role was to deliver checks to Maria Ceniceros, obtained from identities used to create fraudulent tax returns that turned into tax refunds. So, hey, maybe Mark D'Antonio can get a cut. Maybe he can get a percentage, you know? Maybe for all these white-collar crimes he's going to be solving, maybe he could get a slice of the action, you know, so that they could send the money over to the sheriff so that they could maybe buy a new cruiser or two for the year. You know what I'm saying? Three county employees arrested and charged with conspiracy to commit forgery and violation of notary requirements were Emilia Gomez, 51, Nadia Martinez, 38, and Rena Rodriguez, 32. And so Here's a quote from Mark. What is significant about this case is that it is one of the largest identity theft investigations in the Southwest and maybe the country. This investigation is the first case involving the White Collar Crime Tax Task Force, created as a joint agreement between the sheriff's office and the district attorney's office. The sheriff and I agree that it was time to take a more aggressive stance on white collar crime as well as public corruption. These types of investigations will be more frequent in the future. In Kiki V. Hill, he thanks him. So let's get Kiki on here as soon as we can, and let's get Mark on here as soon as we can to talk about this a little bit more. But this is big news, and Ben told me that he would not be surprised if they ended up taking this to CNN or one of these other investigative reports would come in nationally to do a report, because it's that big of a story. Now, I think it just makes you wonder. Of course, is there more of this stuff out there? And of course there is, but how big would it be? I just got a text from a buddy of mine who says, really? The judge allowed bail for people involved in cashing in fake checks? Yeah, I guess so. that's just the way the thing goes. You know, people can get bail usually. All right, so let's take a little break here. It's 63 degrees right now. And it's going to be a high of 97, a low 64. Beautiful moon when I got up. Beautiful moon. I got a picture of it. I don't know how it'll turn out, but a very bright moon. And the sky had that, it had a feel of there's just totally clear air and maybe just a little bit of haze, a slight amount of haze in it. So I've read over the vacation, the wedding that I went to, I read the autobiography of Nile Rodgers, the guitarist from Chic, and that is an absolutely amazing story. He was raised by two heroin junkies and had an extraordinary life. And in addition to Chic, he did a lot of producing for other artists, David Bowie, Madonna, Duran Duran, a lot of big acts. When he produced them, it was their biggest album. So I thought it was a pretty interesting thing. But talk about total, absolute dysfunction in somebody's life, and yet he was still able to achieve something. It was impressive. All right, Kelly O'Connell, 614 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. The number to call in, 523-1450. If you know anything about this crime, let us call in and give us a few more details. We'll be right back. Holy cow. We got some arrests locally, and it has to do with Doña Ana employees. And the employees were accused of making false tax refunds with fake IDs and then getting the money. Hey, they're not stealing from anybody around here. What's the big deal? They're stealing from the government, who some people are claiming are stealing from us. But anyway, it's a big story. And they say that Lynn Ellen's DeGeneres was not involved or is not charged. And Deputy County Clerk Scott Kraling were not implicated. They were both, from what I understand, playing dominoes in the back when the news came out. The person who turned him in, Robert R.J. Hernandez, who I understand is in a wheelchair. That's what I heard. Is the whistleblower who kickstarted the investigation on Monday, and he called on Ellens and Kraling to resign because of the seriousness of the accusations against employees they oversee. Ellens emphasized he was not involved and said Hernandez's call for him to resign was, quote, nonsense. Nonsense. All right, here's another story on this from KOB up north. Check it out. And I have one other little report here from KVIA on this same story. And hold on just a second here. Here's from El Paso. Well, Lynn Ellens may need some of those gay marriage participants to support him at this time of crisis. So, the gentleman that was the whistleblower, he is running for office. What do you think about that? Do you believe that the county clerk's, I almost called it the county clown's office, but the county clerk's office is fatally compromised? We've got, is it seven people that were arrested in this? Do you feel like they can't do their job? Do you think that Lynn Ellens, DeGeneres, do you think Lynn Ellens should remove himself as being fatally compromised, as Mr. Hernandez claims? 523-1450. Anybody out there hear anything about this? Feel free to call in. But they say that there could be some more arrests. So anyway, big deal, huh? And they're called low-level employees, but how many employees are there down at the county clerk's office? I wonder. I'm just slightly curious about this. Anyway, got some more stories for you. Is it incredible, does it go without saying how incompetent the government has become in so many ways, that the vast majority of people trying to smuggle stuff through TSA, that they were not caught? And so I went through, you know, I went to wedding, and you know, I went in that, for some reason they pulled me aside to go through a faster line. And then the lady who was up to this point was a little bit abrasive. You know how these people are. You crack a joke and they look at you like you desecrated a corpse. And she says to me, well, you don't have to take off your shoes. How does that make you? What do you think of that? I said, I'm feeling better already. But I guess I should have had some a stick of TNT under my arm when I was talking to her. But it is an incredible number. It's like 78 out of 80. I don't know. I just incredible number of of attempted smugglings. I mean, what does that tell the the terrorists who want to smuggle stuff in there? It's time to get back to work. Really incredible, and doesn't make you feel any safer, one, about traveling, or two, about the, you know, really the competency of the government. So, and I've always thought this about the TSA. You know, the Homeland Security comes together, is put together for protection of the United States, the borders, blah, blah, blah. And so I always saw the TSA as being overly aggressive and, you know, just doing things with, you know, like trying to paint a portrait with a rolling brush. And I was always very kind of skeptical because, you know, you're pulling these little kids and little old ladies aside and strip searching them, just stuff that just makes your stomach turn. And then we find out that they're not even doing their job. So anybody who works for TSA out there, apologies, but I mean, come on now. Here's from Fox News. TSA head resigns after watchdog report reveals airport security failings. Failings is hardly the description. Complete and abject, just a collapse would be a better way to describe the job they're doing. Here we go. And how much money have they spent on this stuff? You know? There are only failures in this. I mean, it's just, how is that possible? You know, it's just, wow, are you kidding me? It's absolutely astounding, the level of failure. I mean, it would be better, you'd be safer hitchhiking, you know? Jeez, what is that? I mean, it just goes to show you that this one size fits all type of screening is not effective. Why not do racial profiling or religious profiling? What do you think about that? 523-1450. Want to take all the people out that look like they're terrorists and do an extra, you know, give them a sniff of the dog or something, you know? I don't get it. I really don't. I don't understand how they could totally fail like that. I mean, I understand some problems, but to miss virtually everything. Anyway, just pardon my shocked reaction. All right, so I've got some more stories for you. And so, just looking here at anything else, but let's take a little break here. Take a slight break and be right back. It is 6:31. Trying to think of anything else about that trip that I took that somebody had mentioned that they enjoyed hearing about it. So I guess, you know, they say that, you know, there's something about traveling that kind of like revives your imagination and everything. But I didn't know that 95% of TSA tests had failed when I got on that plane. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, man, that's so incredible. When I pulled into the airport in Phoenix, it was 106 degrees at 6 p.m. I literally could not believe it. So, and then I quickly looked up the Las Cruces temperature. It was literally 20 degrees cooler than that. Okay, so Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Got a lot of stuff to cover here, and we will be right back. And by the way, the temperature, of course, right now is 63 degrees, and 97 is the high, 64 the low. Be right back. Well, we were just going over this story about the clerk's office and how they were using, there's a number of clerks in there that, or whatever their jobs were, that were using their positions to, And I don't even, I mean, did they, I don't even know if they needed to work for the clerk's office, but they did work for the clerk's office. But they used their jobs to help them get the tax refunds, fake tax refunds, and get, you know what, that maybe that's the way that the people could fight back. Put out a bunch of fake tax refunds. And to get extra money from the government. We're already pretty good at getting money from the government around here. So a few other stories here for you, but I just have to ask you, do you feel that the office itself, RJ Hernandez, has said that the office itself is compromised? Do you agree with that? And do you think that Lynn Ellen's DeGeneres should resign, or should he just stick in there with his... I guess the thing is, and this is something that Ben Rossin brought up to me over lunch, because he told me about it, and I said, why don't we... let's get together, and I want to hear about the story. So I asked him what he thought, and he said, I asked, why was this guy asking for Ellen's to resign? And he said that it's because how could he not have known about it? So it's either he knew about it and didn't do anything about it, or he didn't know and should have known. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not, I don't know enough about the story, but it's funny how this one family was able to pull it off. All right. So let me give you some headlines, national headlines. FBI behind mysterious surveillance aircraft over cities. What do you think about that? Planes carrying video cell phone snooping technology. Anybody think that's a good idea? Hidden behind fictitious government front companies. Does that make anyone out there feel safer? Rand Paul helped push away this permanent snooping of these cell phones. And from what I understand, and somebody told me when I talked to him about it, they pointed out if they had found anybody, they wouldn't talk about it because it would compromise how they were doing it. Well, how they're doing it is listening to people's phones. Rand Paul filibustered it, so they got rid of it. So I don't see, I think if they had caught somebody, they'd talk about it. You know, so I don't think that you can't listen to everybody's phone call at the same time and get information out of it and stop these crimes. I don't think that's possible. That there's how many cell phone conversations are happening at the same time at any given moment in the United States? I mean, are there not tens of millions? At least 50 million? Newark residents warned not to eat fish in flooded streets. I guess there's flooding in Newark. The storms that were over Texas have moved on. So moved to the East Coast. Study. People spend more than 8 hours a day consuming media. That's got to be healthy. Pentagon admits mishandling more anthrax samples sent to labs in Canada. Hillary allows men at women-only event amid weak turnout. Couldn't get enough women. I think Hillary is starting to look like the Titanic a little bit. And they're talking about manspreading. You know what manspreading is? It's when you get on the rapid transit and you spread your legs out so people can't squeeze in next to you. And it's become you can get arrested for it, I think, or you can at least get a ticket. All right, let's take a little break here. 6:41. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, and the number to call in 523-1450. 6:41. And about 60 degrees. Oh, it's actually over 60 degrees. It's going to be real warm today. We'll be right back. All right, so I'm looking at this story here, by the way, another local story about the recall. You know, I have had the recall people on the show before. As you know, Jeff Isbell, but it's been a while since I've talked to those guys. And it is a little bit, it's a little bit confusing, but what happened is these guys had this recall and they had enough signatures and they brought the signatures forward, but the signatures were challenged. And some of the signatures, I think, were challenged on sufficiency of the information, but the signatures were challenged on, for the most part, from what I understand, is they were challenged for the intention behind the voters didn't know. The voters didn't know, or the people that were signing it didn't know what was what they were signing for us. That's what the anti-recall people said. And we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, buddy. This is John, your tow truck driving friend.
Hey, what's up, John?
Oh, not a whole lot. Hey, I've kind of been involved on the court hearings, and I was at the city council meeting yesterday. And I just, number one, I got to say one thing. I don't know. I didn't realize there was this many people in Las Cruces that would sign something without reading it. I mean, and that's the biggest thing. All these people that got up and said, you know, well, I had my name pulled off because they told me this or they told me that. Well, you know, they carry a copy of the petition right there and you can read it and know exactly what it's about. Oh, it was about, they told me it was about the PAL building or that Gil Sorg lives in Santa Fe or, you know, and just a bunch of crap, really.
I find that claim to be absolutely bizarre.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily believe it. I think that whatever the judge decided, I would like to have heard her decision. But in terms of the opposition stating that the vast majority didn't know what they were signing, I don't believe that. I mean, I wasn't there, so I can't really verify it. But it seems to me if you're going to do something like this, there's no way you could mislead everybody in what they were signing. It just strikes me as not true.
Well, basically what the judge said was that, that it was okay that even though there's no procedure laid out for the city clerk to lay out some kind of procedure to withdraw signatures based on allegations of fraud or misconduct, that it was okay for the city clerk to do that even after the petitions had been filed, even though that state statute and city charter, well, the city charter doesn't cover it, the statute takes over. And the state statute was very clear that once petitions are filed, signatures cannot be added or withdrawn. Well, that's the whole thing. After the petition was filed, that's when they started going out and talking to all the people that signed it and got a bunch of them to withdraw their names after the petitions had been filed, which is the whole point of the petitioner's complaint. They're mad because they were allowed to remove signatures after the petitions had been filed. And I'll tell you what, we've got to applaud Councilman Miguel Silva. He's the only one that stood up and called it for exactly what he saw, you know, what wasn't clear and what wasn't, you know, they weren't being open about. And one other thing I've got to say is for someone that's an attorney, Mr. Goodman sure does exhibit a lot of hearsay kind of stuff. That's about 90% of what he had to say in front of the council yesterday. Well, so-and-so told me this and so-and-so told me that. And
well, it sounds like it was a hearsay defense, you know, that basically all of these people were misled and
well, that's exactly what it was. And then also on top of it, Mr. Goodman's firm put together or one of the attorneys involved put together a form letter for them to withdraw their signatures. However, there was only one affidavit from a person that wanted their signature withdrawn so they could actually prove that, you know, that this person did really want to have their signature withdrawn without having them present. But, I mean, they're going around on this form letter and getting people to sign it, and there's no, it's not a notarized deal. There's no address or phone number. You know, there's, it, I could have gone out and signed a bunch of them my darn self and come up with a whole bunch of them, you know, that had just as much legal standing as theirs.
John, I find that weird because the court always wants things that are attested to out of court to be in the form of an affidavit. For those of you who don't know the French terminology, affidavit is when you make a statement outside of court, the level of scrutiny, take it to a notary public, and they will say, do you know what you're signing and everything? And then you pull out your ID and do your signature, and they stamp it and everything. But I find that weird. Here's the thing. Something like this obviously could be overturned, but my question is, will it be too late, you know, to get the remedy that the people who are putting the recall petition together, you know?
It'll most definitely be too late, and that was the entire strategy, was to delay things long enough so that no matter what the appeal turned out to be, that it wouldn't have any, you know, wouldn't have any standing there. There were so many other things there where they just didn't follow the law.
Such as?
They withdrew a bunch of signatures because the circulator, the person going door to door with the petition, was not a, they said they had to be a resident of the district and a registered voter. Well, that requirement is nowhere in the city charter or in the governing statute by the state. All they have to do is be a resident of the district. They don't have to be a registered voter to tote a petition around and gather signatures. And because they claim that several of the circulators were not registered voters, that all the signatures they gathered were invalid, which is, that's bull. That's not what the law says. That's not what the requirement is.
Well, I will say one thing. The guys that put the petition together got played. That's my
opinion. Yeah.
John, I got another call here. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yes, this is Deborah. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Deborah. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to ask, in our very well knowledgeable audience, can they deny you to put in a new voter's registration without giving your whole Social Security number, all this identity stuff?
I don't, Deborah, that all depends on what the law states. But this is my understanding. I could be wrong. I need to do a little more background study on this. But it is my understanding that there were a lot of things that were not laid out in the law, and therefore the judge allowed the city clerk to make decisions on basically how things were going to be interpreted. But if that's true, then it does leave it up to another person above her to decide whether that was, or a group of people to decide if that was the right way to handle it.
Now, maybe you're not understanding me. I tried to re-register for voting rights, and they denied because I only put my last four digits of my Social Security number.
I didn't
understand
because you didn't say that. But
sorry.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but maybe you could do some a little bit of research on it and call back. And I'm running out of time, Deborah. Thanks for the call. All right, folks. Got to take a break here. Appreciate John calling in to straighten things out. Now, there was a case in front of another judge. I was the attorney in that case, and we won. And there is obviously not going to be exactly the same thing. That particular case was for candidates to stay on the ballot, and that's different than this. But to the extent that it is different, I'd have to study and compare and contrast. It's a big win for the anti-recall people, obviously, and I would say that the recall people got played a little bit. But anyway, 6:54. This is AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. We will be right back. All right. So what do you guys think about this petition being basically what happened is they got enough signatures for the petition to, it's not to recall them, but it was to have a vote to recall them. They had enough petitions to do that. And so the opposition formed their, you know, counter movement, counter assault, and were able to reply in court. Now here was one of the issues was that a private attorney came in and represented a city employee or city employees, which is kind of interesting. But anyway, I guess the story's not over, but it's maybe a big win for the people that's, I don't know, the people that support the city councilors, obviously, that are going to be able to stay in. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about this thing a little bit more, but one of the things that the newspaper said was that it was characterized as a he said, she said matter in terms of whether the people got the right information. So is that enough to actually get rid of the and get rid of the petitions? There's some disagreement as to whether they were told the right thing, so therefore we're going to invalidate them. I mean, maybe that's not how it was explained, but it certainly sounds funny to me. And if John is correct, no affidavits coming into court, and that the opposition's presentation was of a hearsay nature. Somewhat surprising, but who knows? Anyway, we'll take a break here. Kelly O'Connell, this is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in. We'll be right back.
You ever been to Oregon? Thank you. Well, with the
good morning, 706. 523-1450 to call in. I'm so glad we got Walt Rubel here today because we got so many local stories to talk about.
Big news day, it is.
Big news, huge news day. We got, what's the biggest story?
I think the recall finally coming to an end, just because that's dragged on for so long and stirred emotions, you know, to the point that it did. And I think this is the end. There are always legal avenues available.
Well, you know what I find bizarre about the story is they had enough signatures, hypothetically.
Right.
And the fact that they were able to not only challenge signatures, but also challenge the dissemination of information.
Yeah.
I just found that so strange.
Well, I think people lied. I mean, I don't know. I wish there were a nicer way to put that. But I think when you have a petition that says, I want to recall Orgo Pedroza, and you go knock, knock, knock on the door, hi, I'm here to talk to you about saving the PLL Boxing Club, I think that's lying.
Well, but how do you prove that? I mean, how do you...
Person after person after person comes forward and says that's what happened.
But there's no affidavits. There's no typical courtroom, you know.
Yeah, and maybe there should be. I don't know. You're right. I mean, but even if there were all that stuff, people are going to believe what they want to believe.
Yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, that's not the issue, whether people believe what they want to believe. The issue is...
Well, whether it was an honest recall attempt. I don't think it was.
But what strikes me as strange about this is the debate should be whether the signatures are accurate. It's another issue as to whether there was fraud on that. But, I mean, they're kind of throwing both things together.
Well, no, my understanding is it's not whether some signatures always get thrown out. I mean, because they don't live in the district for whatever reason. So that always happens. But on this that was unique is people called up afterwards and said, I would like to have my signature removed. And that's what Samantha Barncastle and the recall supporters were objecting to.
But I mean, that wasn't part of where did it say that you could do that? I mean,
my understanding is the city charter doesn't say one way or the other. So it goes to a court and a judge rules.
Well, anyway, well done to the people who were opposed to the recall. You got to admit it's an attenuated argument.
I don't know what that means.
Stretched out.
Oh, no, I don't. No, I think
it very much is. And I'll tell you why I say that is because there should have been, in my opinion, just I don't know. You're right. The court does have to have a say in the matter. It would have been helpful if the city charter had dealt with whether their people could change their mind.
I agree.
It was a clever defense.
I think it would have been helpful if the city charter was clear on the citizens' initiative process that started this whole thing in the first place, in my opinion. I mean, I know the recall supporters deny that, but I don't think it's a coincidence that this happened right after the minimum wage went through. And I think there are a lot of things in the city charter that need to be reformed, need to take a look at it. And you're right. That's one of them.
All right. So, where do you think it goes from here?
Well, like I said, I think it's done. We have a municipal election coming up in November. They have spent